Hey y'all, it is I, Anthony the Canadian Guy, and welcome to WrestleSode, where we put the creative back in wrestling. WrestleSode is a member of the Win Column Sports Network, so remember to check us out at wincolumnsports.ca to be kept up to date on everything happening in Alberta in the world of wrestling. In fact, there was an amazing interview that just went up with Kayla J over on the Conversations with Love, so remember to check that out. You can also check out my social medias. I am on Twitter at WrestleSode or at facebook.com/WrestleSode. You can check out my website at WrestleSode.com. And if you're liking this podcast, don't forget to leave us a like or subscribe to us. That's also great. Leave us a comment, a rating, a review. It's all great stuff, if that's what you want to do. Today, everybody, I'm so excited for this. I was a product of the 80s. I was born in 1988, so I'll just do the math for you. I am 31 years old, and I grew up on a lot of 80s movies. So, and there are so many good ones. And not only that, I grew up a fan of wrestling as a kid, and I always used to think to myself, there are so many cool characters that would just be great as wrestlers. So I made a podcast about it today. So I'm going to be choosing 10 80s fictional characters who I think would have been fantastic wrestlers. And I'm not going to do this in any particular order because some of these are so good. Some of these are better than others, but I'm not going to tell you which ones I think are slightly better than others. But I think you'll hear it and you'll be like, oh yeah, no. That was a good one. I really like that one. So we're going to start off today with a faction. I thought it'd be really fun to throw in our first faction from 1984. We have the Ghostbusters. Yes, yes, that is correct. The Ghostbusters. There is four of them. We are creating a faction, a tag team, a mid-card, and an upper top of the card guy. So let's just start off with our little bit of a tag team here. Now, if you've watched Ghostbusters, if you don't know who these characters are, by the way, you should be watching any of these references instead of listening to this podcast because all the references are so good. All right, Ghostbusters, one of my favorite movies of all time. In 2014, I was in New York City for the 25th anniversary of Ghostbusters 2 and the 30th anniversary of Ghostbusters 1. I was in New York for it. I specifically went for it. I am a giant nerd, so let's talk Ghostbusters because I know a lot about it. Egon Spengler and Ray Stantz. Egon Spengler, the most scientifically minded of the four, the one that comes up with all the ideas, the one that likes to collect spores, molds, and fungi. The one that believes print is dead, and unfortunately Harold Ramis, the one of the four cast members of the Ghostbusters, who unfortunately has passed away and did pass away several years ago, unfortunately. He was one of my favorite. He was so good. He was great. He was a good director. He directed Year One. He was the director of Groundhog Day, which is still one of my favorite movies ever. Anyways, let's move on. Ray Stantz, played by Dan Aykroyd. Kind of a kooky character, but still scientifically minded. Probably the one with the most heart and love for the business of ghostbusting. Egon and Ray would make our tag team. Now, they are scientists. They use goofy tactics and probably comedy wrestling more than anything most of the time, but they would be a great tag team. Our mid-card, we have Winston Zeddemore. One of the more no-nonsense members of the group. He was definitely the most recent addition to the group as Ghostbusters started off with just the three. Winston Zeddemore joined on when they became more busy, and he'll do anything as long as there's a steady paycheck in it for him. A great one-liner with things like, tell him about the Twinkie. And of course, his favorite Bible quote, he likes the Bible and anything like that. It was Ray that said, Revelation 7:12, and then as he opened the sixth seal, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became as black as sackcloth, and the whole moon became as blood. That's just the quote from the movie. I don't know the Bible. I'm just being honest. I just know the movie that good. So Winston Zeddemore would make up our mid-card. He would be going for the mid-card belt, and I think that's a great place. And finally, at the top of the card, Peter Venkman, Bill Murray's character, though technically the most useless member of the Ghostbusters, he is charisma through and through, happily placed at the top of the card, probably not even a very decent wrestler. He would just be all promos. He would be funny. He's a great comic. He's just such good dry humor and then also not dry humor. Peter Venkman has been funny since I was a kid. And as I grew up and continued to watch Ghostbusters, the humor changed entirely because there's things in there for kids and there's things in there for adults. And Peter Venkman was the easiest to amplify all of that with the words that he said. Except in Ghostbusters 2, that definitely went to Ray because that was weird stuff that he did in Ghostbusters 2. I mean, he controlled the Statue of Liberty with an NES Advantage. I know things. Anyways, that's just the first entry on this. It's a faction, the Ghostbusters. Egon Spengler and Ray Stantz is our tag team. Winston Zeddemore in the mid card. And at the top of the card, we got Peter Venkman. Number two, probably my favorite entry amongst this list because I've always thought this person would have made an amazing an amazing wrestler, even since I was a kid. Biff Tannen. Yes, the bad guy, the antagonist from Back to the Future. I loved this guy as a kid. He was just a jerk. I would never see Biff Tannen at the top of the card, but a mid-card heel, absolutely, 100%. He was so rude and so easy to hate. And you could even say that there's a bit of MJF these days has a bit of Biff Tannen into him. Probably. Biff Tannen, though, he's such a quotable character. Could you just not imagine him walking up to, like, Mankind, and he's just knocking on his head. He's like, hello, Mankind, McFoley, instead of McFly, McFoley. I don't know. I thought it'd be kind of fun. Or, you know, it's like, why don't you make, like, a tree? Get out of here. He's a quote machine, okay? Biff Tannen is hilarious. And, you know, I hate Menor. Oh, Biff Tannen. The 80s were the best, weren't they? I ooze with love for the 80s as a person who just, I just love nostalgia and retro. If you know who I am, if you've ever met me in person, you know how much I love the 80s and 90s. Oh, it's the best. Anyways, Biff Tannen, great mid-card heel, a definite great character, and probably the one since I was a kid who was like, I would have loved to see him as a wrestler. He's also big, right? Like, he's a big brute guy. He'd be perfect. It works out really well for him, honestly. Number three, Beetlejuice. Okay, you know you needed some goofy characters in this, but Beetlejuice is both, like, terrifying and hilarious at the same time. Though he's mostly good-natured, as you know, as long as it benefits him, he has charisma that is off the charts, even more so than Peter Venkman. You know, we need some ghoulie-esque characters in this, right? We need some spooky guys, some guys who can perform a little bit of the, you know, dark arts, I guess you could say, teleportation, just doing whatever it takes to kind of win in a match using really goofy tactics. He would be hilarious, and he could be used literally anywhere on the card, from being a jobber all the way up into the main event, doing stories behind the scenes, you know, being a heel, being a face. Beetlejuice is perfect for that. And, I mean, I'm a big fan of Michael Keaton, the guy who played Beetlejuice. He was just being great. He was Batman. He was Beetlejuice. He was a lot of amazing things. I loved Michael Keaton. Anyways, Beetlejuice, he would have been a fantastic wrestler, kind of like a Doink the Clown, except way cooler. Evil Doink the Clown. That even looked even cooler than Doink the Clown. Anyways, number four. And now, you hear me out on this one. It's a little bit of an interesting one. Barney Gumble from The Simpsons. All right, now you might be like, okay, Barney's kind of like a useless drunk. That's, you know, for the most part, yes. But when he is sober, he's an incredible specimen of a human being who is good enough, even after years of abuse to his body, to be selected by a NASA to be an astronaut. Though he didn't get it, that went to Homer. But if you've seen the episode, you understand Deep Space Homer. You know what I'm talking about. He can also sing. If you remember the episode where he joined as part of the B-Sharps replacing Chief Wiggum. I mean, that's the best feature of Barney, is that he's completely unpredictable. Barney, like, you know, you could just see it. Think of this as an Attitude Era storyline. This wouldn't really fly these days, but could you imagine if you had Barney at the top of the card? He's oozing charisma, he's sober Barney, but then you've got, like, I don't know, mid-card Biff Tannen heel who, like, slips him a Mickey in the, like, in the match or something, and you, as the match goes on, he's just getting more and more drunk and clumsy and just falls over and passes out. And then, you know, I mean, like, that would have been something that could have happened in the mid card, because as Barney drinks, he becomes more and more useless. But, well, when he's sober, he's a specimen. You guys all saw the episode. If you know what I'm talking about in this, and you're just, like, nerding out like me thinking 80s stuff, you know what I'm talking about. Barney Gumble, The Simpsons. Number five. Another faction, the faction to feud with the Ghostbusters, the other team of four that really came out in the 80s as a member of my childhood, the Ninja Turtles. Yeah. So, all right, Michelangelo, Donatello, Raphael, and Leonardo are just, if you think about it, would make amazing wrestlers. They'd be great high flyers. There's great tactician. There's brute strength. There's comedy. There's brains and inventions. Let's put them together. Very similar to the Ghostbusters, we could even put these guys in a feud against each other. We have the tag team of Michelangelo and Donatello. Another goofy tag team, but great wrestlers who implement comedy, but are highly skilled in the ring. Michelangelo, definite comic relief, but is also the most athletic of all of them, doing things like a Matt Riddle, if you could think about something like that. Donatello, the brain, the one who comes up with all the tag team finishing moves. Instead of being an inventor, he comes up with these cool, amazing moves for him and Michelangelo to do because he's an inventor. Donatello and Michelangelo would make the perfect tag team within the Ninja Turtles. Mid-card, goes to Raphael, another no-nonsense character, much more than Winston Zeddemore. He is always looking for a fight. This turtle, though, is lovable, and he's got a great emotional range, though always kind of gruff and rough on the outside. You know he's got a heart of gold, and he would always do the right thing. He's probably the most skilled fighter of all of the Ninja Turtles, but, you know, he's got a bit of a hothead. He does. He gets his emotions, he lets the emotions get the best of him. I can speak sometimes. I'm just so excited to talk about Ninja Turtles. He lets his emotions get the best of him a lot of the time. And because of that reason, he often isn't the best actual fighter for the Ninja Turtles. But he is just naturally the most skilled, I would probably say. Perfect for the mid-card, holding a mid-card belt with attitude, kind of like a Pete Dunne. So good. At the top of the card, we have the leader of the Ninja Turtles, obviously, Leonardo. You know, he would be calm and collected. He's a wrestling machine, like a Will Ospreay, who would just use his confidence and training to serve as his tools within the ring. He would just be awesome at the top of the card, right? He's got the brain, he's got the brawn, he's got the skill, he can walk the walk, he can talk the talk, he's got charisma, and he's got confidence. And Leonardo would be perfect at the top of any wrestling card because he's just, how perfect would that be, right? Just think of it. There are so many cool characters from the 80s, by the way. It was hard to just choose 10. I should have made like an honorable mentions at the beginning of this. Maybe at the end I'll come back and do a bit of an honorable mentions. But that would be your faction for the Ninja Turtles. Michelangelo and Donatello as the tag team, Raphael in the mid card, and Leonardo at the top of the card. I would do this. So if I'm being honest, I think all three of them would win against the Ghostbusters if they were in an actual, like, match. But let's just put them together anyways. So we have Michelangelo and Donatello versus Ray Stantz and Egon Spengler. I'm just going to give this. So Donatello has always been my favorite Ninja Turtle. If we're talking favorites here, Donatello was mine. I always liked the smart guy, right? Donatello was my favorite. Billy, the Blue Power Ranger, was my favorite. Egon Spengler was my favorite. So I've always just kind of just been drawn to the brain. So it's hard for me to choose who I would want to win this, but I have such an affinity for Ghostbusters. I'm going to give this to Egon Spengler and Ray Stantz, pinning Michelangelo and Donatello. In the mid-card, Raphael against Winston Zeddemore. Raphael's got such good character, and unfortunately, because Winston Zeddemore only joined halfway through the first movie, has the least defined character of any of the Ghostbusters, so I would have to give this one to Raphael. Also, damn skilled fighter. And then at the top of the card, Leonardo versus Peter Venkman. I mean, it probably has to be Leo, right? Peter would just do everything he could to try to win, but he's goofy and he would never get it done. Though a man with a heart of gold, Leonardo in his training, just too good. How could you do that? Ninja Turtles win 2-1 over the Ghostbusters. There you go. I had to give something to the Ghostbusters because I love them more than I love the Ninja Turtles, if I'm being 100% honest. Let's move on to number 6, He-Man. Oh, okay, yes. So probably one of the most natural looking wrestlers, especially if you're thinking back in the 80s days. A complex character, the alter ego of Prince Adam of Eternia. He would be a perfect fit in the world of wrestling. We've seen many wrestlers in the past who have alternate personas that are stronger than their original form. Finn Balor with the Demon King, Bray Wyatt with the Fiend. These are perfect examples like this. He's got a great look. He would fit right in, like, especially, like I said, with the look. Imagine him up against like a Braun Strowman, especially back in the day when everybody just looked like a He-Man. I mean, who wouldn't want to see a He-Man at the top rope holding a sword to the sky and being like a kid and just like screaming at the top of your lungs in front of your TV, "By the power of Grayskull!" You know what I mean? It would have been so much fun to do as a kid. I don't know about the rest of you, but I mark out for things like doing the Undisputed Era logo. I throw my hands to the side for Finn Balor. I turn on my phone light for Bray Wyatt. I'll be a Firefly. I'm a sucker for those things. And if somebody was going to be screaming "By the power of Grayskull" at the top of their lungs, I probably would have done it as a kid as well. He-Man would have been perfect. A good guy threw him through. Probably the most natural face of anybody on this list, I would probably say, because it's He-Man. It's hard to not love He-Man. Let's just be 100% honest here. Anyways, let's move on to number 7. All right. This one makes me happy. A great behind-the-scenes authority figure. Dr. Claw from Inspector Gadget. So, okay, so he's never in any episode. He's never the one to fight Inspector Gadget. He's always throwing stuff towards Inspector Gadget. He's always getting thwarted, of course, but he always gets away. He's a great, perfect authority role. Could you imagine, like, he would be a perfect foil to any babyface, to any tweener that you would want to push on the card. Imagine if it wasn't Mr. McMahon holding Stone Cold Steve Austin down, but it was Dr. Claw. And you know, like every time they would send out a new wrestler and Stone Cold would beat him or something, you would just be at the end of the episode, he'd be like,
I'll get you next time, Austin. Next time.
Yeah, that's my Dr. Claw impression. It's pretty good, I know. Or, you know,
it was me, Austin.
Oh, that would have been perfect. Oh, I need water now. That hurt my throat. 1 second. Perfect. All right. So anyways, Dr. Claw would be perfect just holding down anybody that you would want to push up the card. I think Dr. Claw, it's just my whole childhood. I just love Inspector Gadget. So for me, Dr. Claw, I would just love to hate. He would just be so good to hold somebody down. He would have been a perfect Mr. McMahon had Mr. McMahon not been Mr. McMahon. Number 8, Sarah Connor. Okay. Talk about a badass with a personality. I guess you could say that Sarah Connor, I guess, would be similar to Dean Ambrose's character, kind of like in a way, a normal person who, through having to stay alive from having to be trying to get killed by the Terminator, you know, turned into a battle-hardened, just a total badass with just, you know, a few issues keeping her, you know, sanity in check at times here to there. But, you know, that's fine. She's still awesome. Sarah Connor is amazing. She can fight against Terminators from the future. Okay, you don't think she would be fantastic at the top of the card in the women's division? Absolutely she would. Her character is so good. Like, I could see her cutting an amazing promo, and she always did. And, you know, she's a little crazy. Like I've said that a few times, but who wouldn't love to see Sarah Connor as a wrestler? I'd have loved it. Number 9, Indiana Jones. You know, it was really hard for me to choose Indiana Jones or Han Solo, but I did go with Indiana Jones, because if you want brain, brawn, and street smarts, then you kind of just are Indiana Jones. He's got the look. He's so slick. He can be running around caves and wooing ladies and, you know, stopping Nazis all at the same time, fighting curses or aliens. But, you know, he's a smart technician in the ring. Indy would just be great starting off in, like, the mid-card and letting the audiences really learn and love his, like, no-nonsense, badass attitude, where he's a good guy, right? He is a good guy. He's an archaeologist. He's a professor. He's a teacher. He's also, like, a relic hunter and an adventurer, and he's got an awesome whip. He could use it just like Bianca Belair uses her hair, something like that. But it's his utility. He's got a good look. And I mean, who wouldn't want to be Indiana Jones? Everybody loved Indiana Jones growing up. Basically, if you were a fan of anything in the 80s, you probably liked Harrison Ford for something, because he was Indiana Jones and he was Han Solo, and it's hard to not like one of those two genres. If you don't like one, you tend to usually like the other. But Indiana Jones would just, I think, be perfect. Is just a perfect wrestler. Number 10. And the reason I didn't choose Han Solo is because I chose Darth Vader. I mean, literally one of the greatest villains of all time. Darth Vader has so many layers. Performing evil to control chaos, essentially. Like, that's what he is, from, you know, just getting too bad. You know, he's a born good guy. He was hungry for power, who eventually let it consume him, right? He fought his mentor and lost. He lost everything. And then he transformed into Darth Vader from Anakin Skywalker, obviously. Spoiler alert. Oh, dang. By the way, spoiler alert in this episode. If you guys haven't seen any of these movies from the 80s, I might spoil something. Darth Vader is Anakin Skywalker. That's Luke Skywalker's dad. I don't know if you know that. Anyways, so he loses to his mentor. He turns into Darth Vader. He grows within the Empire. He becomes literally just like puppet to Emperor Palpatine. Or, well, you know what I'm trying to say. The Emperor. But, you know, he's still technically like a good guy, really, on the inside. At the very end, in his dying moments, he did save Luke, and he killed the Emperor. And it was great. He died from it, though. But anyways, that here and over there, Darth Vader has so many layers as a character. Somebody who could tell long-term stories. Somebody who's a giant, by the way. He would be a huge Hulk in the ring. Like, could you see him facing a Braun Strowman? He could probably just destroy Braun Strowman. It's Darth Vader. He's got the force, man. He's got that grip. He would just force choke you. Kind of a jerk, right? But that's why you would love Darth Vader. He'd be a perfect top of the card heel. Darth Vader, he can talk. He's got a great look. His promos would just be fantastic, because they would just always sound menacing. He would be great in almost any gimmick match except, like, a ladder match, probably. Cage? How would he get his foot through any of those rungs? He'd just get, like, Jenga or Boba Fett, probably, to just aerate him out. Just lift him out with his jetpacks. Anyways, so those are just 10 wrestlers right there that came from 80s culture. These are fictional characters who I thought would have been amazing. And when I was making this list, I had a whole bunch that I wanted to do. And I thought would have been perfect. Richie Rich. I mean, that essentially is MJF. And that's why I didn't choose him, because Richie Rich pretty much grew up to be MJF. He's better than you, and you know it. And then not only that, there's people from the 90s who I really wanted to put on here because I could even think of real life equivalents for them. Like, even though it came from the 90s, it was 1990, it was September of 1990, it was Captain Planet and the Planeteers. Could you imagine Daniel Bryan as Captain Planet? Oh, that would have been fantastic. I got to do this for 90s and 2000s as well, and 2010s. And there's so many things that I could be doing. But this is just the first 80s fictional characters who I would have made into, that would have made great wrestlers. So number one, we'll just kind of go through them again. We have the Ghostbusters, the Faction, Egon Spengler and Ray Stantz as your tag team, Winston Zeddemore in your mid-card, and Peter Venkman at the top of the card. We have second, Biff Tannen, the antagonist from Back to the Future. Probably my favorite entry, like I was saying, on this list, because it's the one that I have been wanting since I was a kid. A perfect mid-card heel, Biff Tannen, just being a jerk to everybody. I hate manure. I'll just keep saying that. Oh, it's so much fun. Three, Beetlejuice. So Beetlejuice could just be used anywhere on the card. Beetlejuice is unpredictable. He has like cool dark magic. He's got comedy. He's good. He's bad. Does it benefit him? If yes, then yes. He is a good guy. But Beetlejuice just would have been a fantastic wrestler. Four, Barney Gumble from The Simpsons. Like I said, he's a character with a lot of dimension. When he's sober, he can't be stopped, but he's got a drinking problem. He's got an addiction problem. He's got layers to his character. He's useless as a drunk. He can sing, but when he's sober, he's literally good enough to be an astronaut. Barney Gumble, and like you even see back when he was like a teenager and stuff, he was a smarter guy, somewhat. If you go back in the early episodes of The Simpsons, Barney and Homer kind of grew up as teenager friends together. So just go watch it. Barney. Anyways, Barney would have made a great wrestler. And plus, I mean, he's got a kind of a bad look. Kind of like a Dusty Rhodes meets Kevin Owens look. I don't know. I can't really say that. Actually, I can't say that. But Barney Gumble would have been a great wrestler. The Faction of the Ninja Turtles, a perfect warring faction to the Ghostbusters. You have the tag team of Michelangelo, the comic relief, Donatello, the scientist. In the mid-card, you've got Raphael, the badass. And at the top of the card, you got cool and collected ninja master, Leonardo. We should say if these people get everybody, but at the very end of this, I'm going to go back. Everybody's going to get a manager, and I'm going to see if I can put a manager to everybody. Number six, He-Man, probably the most natural-looking wrestler of all of them, the perfect good guy in the foil to anybody. We have He-Man. He-Man would have been a perfect 80s wrestler, just good through and through, and every kid had the He-Man doll, man. Everybody loved He-Man. Number seven, Dr. Claw from Inspector Gadget, though not a wrestler himself, a potential backstage authority figure, a manager, somebody who would help thwart your favorite tweener or good guy. Dr. Claw would have been a perfect foil to any of those. Dr. Claw would have been a perfect wrestler. Number eight, Sarah Connor. Sarah Connor is just a badass woman. Like, she is awesome. She fights Terminators. She can do anything, and she can do cool promos. She's a little crazy, and that's the best part about Sarah Connor. Out of everybody on this list, she's the one that I would see, like, wanting to go through a table and doing a deathmatch, because she feels like the most Dean Ambrose, as I said. Number nine, we have Indiana Jones. So, like I was, if you want brain, brawn, street smarts, talent, skill, looks, charisma, it's Indiana Jones. Okay, Harrison Ford looked amazing. Indiana Jones would have been a great wrestler. He's smart, calculated, and he would have been fantastic at the top of any card. You know, your archaeologist, professor, adventurer types. Because they're so common, right? And then number 10, Darth Vader. Probably the most complex of any of these characters. With such a wide-ranging arc. From Anakin Skywalker to Darth Vader. Man, so many layers with Darth Vader. Would have been fantastic wrestler. So let's go back, okay? Everybody's going to get somebody who's either going to be like a feud for them, and we'll just make that up on the spot quickly if we can, or we'll do a manager for them. So let's go back to number one. So the Ghostbusters, okay? So you got Egon Spengler, Ray Stantz, Winston Zeddemore, and Peter Venkman. Well, if you're going to have a fifth member for the Ghostbusters, you need the honorary fifth member. So you need Lewis Tully, a.k.a. Rick Moranis' character. They're a lawyer, accountant, he's a neighbor to Dana Barrett. Anyways, you would have Lewis Tully out there as your manager. I think that'd be perfect. He's like an IRS character, right? That would be a perfect manager for the Ghostbusters. Number two, Biff Tannen. Because Biff Tannen doesn't have a whole lot of friends outside of old Biff Tannen, I guess, and like some of his like goofy gang. I can't think of their names right now. But let's give him a feud. Obviously, we got to put him against Marty McFly, right? I was even considering putting Marty McFly on this list, but because Marty wasn't Biff Tannen, Marty didn't make this list. Marty would have been a great wrestler, though. A great face, very confident. I was also considering putting Ferris Bueller on this list, but I also didn't do that. Maybe we'll make another list. Anyways, Biff Tannen, he would be in a feud against Marty McFly, calling him chicken. That piss Marty off 100%. Number three, Beetlejuice. So who would you have coming to aid Beetlejuice? Well, I guess there's really only one option. It would just have to be Lydia. Obviously Winona Ryder's character. She would have to be the one. She could be the one to summon Beetlejuice. She would be his manager. You know, like her opponent would be in the ring and she would just get in the ring on the apron. She'd be like, Beetlejuice, Beetlejuice, Beetlejuice. And then, you know, like the Titantron would turn on and Beetlejuice would be there and be like, it's showtime. And then like, boom, he just appears in the ring. My God, Beetlejuice would have been a perfect wrestler. I could just think of so many things with Beetlejuice. I got to book a freaking pay-per-view with all these guys and turn it into a whole pay-per-view feud. I'm going to do that, man. I love doing creative stuff with wrestling. It's so much fun. Anyways, number four, we had Barney Gumble. I mean, I guess we'd bring Homer to the ring with him. Maybe that'd be his tag partner. They would fight together, but they would probably be drunk while they did it. So it probably would not be a great tag team. But Barney Gumble, or we could... Yoko. No, I can't. We can't do that. That was just a funny... it's The Simpsons. I miss The Simpsons. It was so good back in the day. I don't really watch it anymore, but man, seasons like 4 to 6 and any of those original Treehouse of Horrors were so good. Anyways, Barney Gumble would probably have Homer Simpson, obviously, with him coming to the ring. Number five, we have the Ninja Turtles. There is obviously like a million people who could be joining the Ninja Turtles. He could be in a feud with Shredder. He could be joined with the manager that is, you know, Splinter. They could be in like another faction and just add Casey Jones. There's a million things you could do with the Ninja Turtles. The Ninja Turtles, though, I'm going to obviously give to Splinter. Splinter is going to come out. He's going to be their mentor. He's their sensei. You know, it's Splinter. Everybody loves Splinter. So the Ninja Turtles would obviously come out with Splinter. He would give them sage advice. And he would also kick anybody's ass who tried to attack him. In fact, he could take out any of the Ninja Turtles. In fact, Splinter is probably the most... I was going to say the strongest person on this list, but there's He-Man, so probably not. But you know what I was trying to say. Anyways, the Ninja Turtles would come out with Splinter. He-Man. Okay, I'm going to put He-Man immediately in a feud with Skeletor. I mean, obviously, Skeletor! That was kind of more... I'm sorry if I broke people's ears with that. Anyways, I'm sorry. I don't do a good Skeletor. But anyways, Skeletor would be He-Man's opponent. He would be in the feud with He-Man. It's literally a tale as old as time. Good guy, bad guy. Just evil monster versus king. Prince, I guess, technically. Anyways, He-Man and Skeletor. Number seven, Dr. Claw. So, I mean, he'd probably come out with his cat. Can't think of the name of the cat at the moment. But let's put him in a feud, obviously, with Inspector Gadget. Or Inspector Gadget, who is, of course, accompanied to the ring by Penny and Brain, because otherwise Inspector Gadget would never win anything. But anyways, that's what I would do. I would have Dr. Claw in a feud against Inspector Gadget, but not in a fighting role in a capacity. He would just keep sending wrestlers and maybe just keep sending Biff Tannen after Inspector Gadget, something like that. Dr. Claw, he would be in a feud with Inspector Gadget. Number eight, Sarah Connor. So, okay, who do you bring to the ring with? Obviously, you bring... teammate, good Arnold Schwarzenegger, Terminator from Terminator 2. That's who you bring into team with Sarah Connor. You would definitely bring the Terminator in, but good guy Terminator. Like I said, not liquid T-1000 Terminator. No, not that one. No, we get Arnold Schwarzenegger comes to the ring in wrestling because, yeah, he does. Hell yeah, he does. Number nine, Indiana Jones. Who do you have? Oh, man. Well, I guess you just have Henry Jones Sr., right? That seems like to be the obvious. He would be... Indy's mentor, I suppose. It's his father. I mean, you know, his Scottish father, obviously. I think that'd be a great mentor. He'd be his dad taking his son under his wing and teaching him things. So Indiana Jones definitely is a loner of sorts. I could see him being there with his dad, Henry. Henry Jones Sr., that's who I would have with Indiana Jones. And who do you put with Darth Vader? Oh, boy. Okay, well, feud. You put him in a feud, obviously, with Luke Skywalker. I mean, that's just obvious, but that's his son. There's so many complicated levels there. Booking that would have been fantastic, and that's what I'm going to say then. Okay, you're putting Darth Vader in a feud with Luke Skywalker. And obviously, I think we know who goes over in that in the end. because we all watch Star Wars because we love it. Anyways, Darth Vader would have Luke Skywalker. Anyways, that's the end of today's podcast. I hope you guys enjoyed it. They're talking back 80s. And I guess if for the honorable mention, if I had actually put Ferris Bueller in this, I guess I would put Cameron as his tag partner, probably. Cameron would have been a great option. So good. Anyways, thank you all for listening. I hope you all have yourself a wonderful day. And remember to tune in to the Wind Column Sports Network, the 5th annual Backbreaker Media Awards. I have the survey in the description below. Remember to go vote. That's going to be closing up here very soon. And just remember to go vote for your favorite moments this year in Alberta Independent Wrestling. Thank you all so much, and I'll talk to you soon.